The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
College Football Live is presented by Dr. Pepper.
Oh, if you think we usually have a lot of energy, it's going to be out of control today. There are actual games. It's College Football Live. Tom Lugenville, Joey Galloway, I'm Jason Fitz. I don't know whether it's the Power 5 guys or the Power 3, but either way, we have games that count tonight from major college football programs, not the least of which, obviously underway, UAB at Miami tonight. That's what all eyes are on. So, leads to a lot of questions about the Hurricanes. We'll start everywhere by giving us a little recap of how Miami got to where they are now. They lost their last game of the season in the Independence Bowl to Louisiana Tech. That made it their ninth loss in the last 10 bowl games and finished with a losing record for the first time since 2014. Now, De'Ara King is transferred to Miami for the 2020 season. King only played four games last season, but in 2018, he was one of college football's best, responsible for 50 touchdowns, which was third in the FBS. Miami's defense, though, a lot of eyes on that, was led by Gregory Rousseau last year, who was second in the FBS in sacks with 15 and a half and also tacked on 15 incompletions. However, Rousseau has announced he's opting out for the 2020 season. So it leads to a lot of questions about what's next for Miami. We're joined now by ESPN college football reporter Andrea Adelson. Andrea, thank you so much for the time. Give me a sense of what it's been like around Miami as they get ready for year two under head coach Manny Diaz.
I was texting somebody at Miami earlier this week, and he told me, all I can say is we are extremely optimistic as coaches and as players about this season, and it goes beyond the addition of De'Ara King at quarterback. Manny Diaz told me this is a much more connected team than it was a year ago. And when he took over as the head coach, Manny realized that there were some issues inside the locker room that he had to address. He tried to instill more accountability among his players. He had some changes on the coaching staff, but it wasn't enough. And by the end of the season, after losing three straight, he knew he had to make more changes. So new coaches on the staff. Players in the locker room now are buying into everything that Manny Diaz has said. And as he told me, when there are frayed connections, even if there is a few, it can have a really big damage on the entire football team. So they've worked really hard to repair those connections. That's something to watch tonight. And there's something else to watch tonight. If Miami gets a turnover, there will be a new, maybe improved turnover chain. And oh, by the way, it will be sanitized after each player wears it.
Oh, that's spectacular reporting. Thank you so much, Andrew. We really appreciate your time and your insight. We appreciate you joining us. And this is going to raise a lot of questions because we all know who Miami used to be. So, Tom Lugenville, I'll ask you first. Who is Miami now to you?
Right now, until they prove differently, they're a team that just got embarrassed in their bowl game by Louisiana Tech, a team that probably Miami wouldn't have offered a scholarship to any player on that roster. And I agree with Manny Diaz. If you have a cancerous locker room, if you have team chemistry problems, you have bigger problems because there's no way that you're just going to erase that. Those are off-field issues that you've got to address. I hope he did. I love the marriage with Rhett Lashley, the new offensive coordinator, and De'Ara King at quarterback. But this game versus UAB is a statement game, Joey. It's a statement game. UAB returns 18 starters, went 9-5, and Bill Clark's team will come ready to play.
And it is tough to have team unity when you don't have a starting quarterback that is playing well. You bring in a guy like De'Ara King, who is accomplished, who is talented, and if he can play good football, it brings an entire team together. Because it's always tough when the offense is having trouble scoring points or turning the ball over, you have a defense that is at times playing pretty good, creating turnovers, putting you in a position to have success. And when you can't find that success on the offensive side, it causes problems on the field. It causes problems in your locker room. And so you bring in a guy like De'Ara King. If he plays well, the entire team comes together and gets around him and has confidence in what he brings to the team. And so we'll see what he can do.
Well, guys, there's a lot of conversation here happening about the culture and everything that was going on maybe in the locker room or behind the scenes. But Luganville, I mean, Manny Diaz was already the defensive coordinator of this team. Shouldn't he have known whatever issues there were that could arise?
Well, possibly, but maybe some of those manifested themselves. Maybe once he made a couple of hires, he brought some players in, and he realized maybe there were some issues that he didn't see initially and needed to address. Again, first-year head coach. The one thing that I look at with this team is pride. Does this team have pride for the University of Miami? Forget trying to get to the NFL. Forget being a high-profile athlete. Do you have pride to make Miami the best they can be?
I agree with you, Lugs. But again, it all comes down to your quarterback play.
It does.
If you can't win, you don't have pride. And you don't see these things in your locker room until you lose football games. And so as a new head coach, you can't come in and figure out that locker room yet, because you have to see what happens when your team goes through adversity. And that's when you find out what kind of locker room you have. And Miami wasn't very successful last season. They lost their bowl game, as you said, Luke. So now all of a sudden they come into a new season. If they can find success, I will bet you any money that locker room was a lot better.
Well, and true, gentlemen, we always say winning cures everything. I understand that.
Sure.
I just think we need to at least acknowledge there's two different issues for Miami. Winning right now and also recreating the Miami that so many people around the program think that they should be. That's a different ghost to be chasing if you're Manny Diaz and if you're the Hurricanes. It'll be interesting to keep an eye on it over the course of tonight. Now, over the course of the weekend, of course, that means we've got the Wendy's Weekend Wake Up. It's time for that. Brought to you by Wendy's Breakfast. Here are some of Saturday's notable games. That includes number one, Clemson at Wake Forest on ABC. Clemson has won the last 11 meetings between these teams, which is the Tigers' longest active winning streak against any FBS opponent. Of course, coming up, it's another day, which means we've heard from the Big Ten again on the fact that they're not playing. The question is, what will actually happen from the comments we get now? We'll break it all down for you next on College Football Live.
College Football Live is presented by Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville, and in part by the fall flavors of the new Fall Blizzard Treat menu, only available at your DQ. Welcome back to College Football Live. Presented by Dr. Pepper.
The Big 12 has had three games postponed this week due to COVID-19. The matchup between Tulsa and number 15 Oklahoma State was originally scheduled for Saturday. It's been postponed to September 19th on ESPN. Now, in the meantime, Texas head coach Tom Herman joined Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on ESPN Radio to talk about how Texas will handle COVID-19 testing results.
We've been pretty transparent in our injury updates with our media. We feel like here at Texas, you know, the walls tend to talk around here. We're pretty upfront with all of the injury information that we provide, simply because, you know, I don't want to be spending my entire week, you know, confirming or denying rumors here and there, left and right. When it comes to COVID, you know, I think we're not going to share names. I think that's certainly, you know, a privacy issue that we've got to respect with our players and student athletes. But, you know, if we did have a cluster, you know, people would know, the public would know all of the numbers that we have, either positive or quarantined. But when it comes to COVID, we're certainly, you're going to be very forthcoming with the numbers and amount of guys should we be down some guys.
One thing I know at this point, Texas testing results is not easy for me to say. So, Joey, how should testing results be handled with COVID-19 for schools?
I think they should report how many players they have that have the disease. I don't know that it's important that we know who, what position, you know, we don't need the name. But if you have guys on your team that have, you know, some issues, I believe in this situation, we need to know, because of the ability for this virus to spread to other people, all the steps that everyone is taking to contain this virus and you know, when people get sick, to, you know, quarantine those people. And so if you're all in this in a partnership together, the Big 12 is together, SEC, ACC, whoever's playing, they're in a, it's like a team. And so everybody has to try to keep everyone else safe. And I really believe that they should all share that information when they have these issues, and they don't have to say who that is and what the names are, the players that have it.
You know, Joey, I think the biggest concern, and we all know coaches are ultra competitive, is they don't want to find themselves in a competitive advantage or disadvantage. For example, if you had a certain position group and you have one member of that position group test positive, now that contact tracing leads to four other players at that position group in that room, and you become decimated, all right? What do coaches not want to do? They don't want to release that information. So now all of a sudden it changes how opponents are going to prepare for you and prepare for the personnel that you're going to have to go on the field with. They're going to want to conceal that. That's why you heard Tom Herman say, hey, we'll release numbers, we'll release clusters, but we're not going to tell you who it is. And I can see why. I get it. They're trying to make sure that they don't fall victim to a competitive disadvantage.
Well, that being said, at least they're playing games. And the numbers at this point is so much about whether or not conferences are going to be comfortable playing. We know at this point the Big Ten's not going to be playing football, at least presumably anytime soon. But coaches are still speaking out. That includes Ohio State coach Ryan Day, who went to social media to release the statement, "While I understand the Big Ten conference's decision to postpone the football season because of health and safety considerations, the communication of information from the Big Ten following the decision has been disappointing and often unclear. However, we still have an opportunity to give our young men what they have worked so hard for, a chance to safely compete for a national championship this fall. The Big Ten Medical Subcommittee has done an excellent job of creating a safe pathway toward returning to play in mid-October. These young men and their parents have asked so many questions that I do not have an answer to. But the one that hurts my heart most is, why can these other teams and players play and we can't? Duke is playing Notre Dame and Clemson is playing Wake Forest this weekend. Our players want to know, why can't they play?" I guess, Tom Lugenbelt, I have to ask you, at some point we keep hearing these same sentiments were echoed by James Franklin. At what point does any of this conversation actually reach a result for coaches?
When every single one of those coaches in that conference starts demanding the same answers as James Franklin and Ryan Day. Listen, if I'm one of those coaches, we've talked about it before on this program, I want to know numbers. I want to know statistics. I want you to tell me that my age demographic of our players, after we've created all of these safety protocols, put them at a significant risk, a significant health risk, hospitalizations, long-term ramifications. I think these coaches and these ADs feel like they haven't been provided anything that can tell them, okay, I get it now. Okay, I can see your perspective. They feel like they're in the dark while they're watching all these other conferences play football and do what they did to flatten the curve, put in the safety protocols. The Big Ten feels like, wait a minute, at least tell us why we're not, and they don't have that answer.
The part that I get confused on, Luke, is when these coaches or these ADs talk about why the Big Ten hasn't told us anything, right, as if they're skipping a step, because your school president is in between in there somewhere. And so I almost feel like the conversation should be, why isn't my president of my university relaying information to me? Because quite honestly, whether it's James Franklin or Ryan Day or Scott Frost, whoever it is, they don't get to make a decision. And so any part of that information that doesn't get to them that they would like to know, I just get confused in this situation. Why is that not a question for your AD or your school president? It's like we're skipping a step and we're saying, why isn't the Big Ten telling me? Well, you work for a university that is in the room making these decisions, voting on these things, collecting this information. And so you should be able to get that same information from your own university. And clearly, it must not be happening, but I don't understand how we keep skipping the step that is your own president and your own university.
Well, and Joey, to that point, I mean, Luke's mentioned transparency. We've had very little transparency from university presidents on how they voted, why they voted, and what it will take to change their mind. So I guess the other question that comes out of this statement is that Ryan Day alludes to a mid-October start as possibility. Luke's, if they can get all of this worked out, do you even think it would be feasible to get football playing for the Big Ten by mid-October?
Absolutely. There's no question in my mind. Those kids are ready. Those coaches are ready. Think of all of the parameters that they've set in place. Think of the structure, the schedule that they've been adhering to. These kids are salivating at the mouth. They're in the weight room. They're on the field. They have limited time on the field practicing against each one another. If you told them tonight, guys, we are playing a game on October 1st, you would have an outstanding product from the Big Ten on the field on October 1st.
Joey, you buying that?
I think part of that, I think part of that question and why this is so unique, because there are 14 teams in the Big Ten, and I think that's 13 different states. I think there's two in Michigan. I could be wrong, could be someone. But so all these states have different rules.
Sure.
And so some people might be able to practice with pads on and hit and tackle, do other things, and some states may not. So if Rutgers is a school that's in the Big Ten and say their rules are different than the rules that are in Columbus, Ohio, or out at Nebraska or in Iowa, then as a conference, you just can't say, hey, we're going to travel over there and play football, even though their rules are different. So I think as we look at this and we say these kids are still practicing, these kids are ready to go, these kids aren't hitting, and these kids don't have pads on. Football is different than every other sport. Until you're hitting, until you're tackling, you're not getting ready to play football. You're basically in a walkthrough, Lugs. We're as close to playing a game of football as they are right now.
It's still 5 weeks away, though. It's still 5 weeks away. If you said tonight that everybody could play by the same rules and get on the field, 5 weeks could get a quality team on the field.
And to Tom's point, I mean, other conferences are also in multiple states, and they've found a way to work together and get themselves, even though they've had different preparation, they find themselves a way to get there. So it's the conversation is not going to go anywhere until we get transparent answers. One thing I know about conversations is that we can barely be in the season, and we're going to start talking about Heisman. So let's get a little Heisman watch action here. Never too early to talk it, and that means usually when we're talking Heisman Trophy previews, we're talking about Oklahoma quarterbacks. They've had great quarterbacks the last 3 years with Jalen Hurts, Kyler Murray, and Baker Mayfield all finishing top two in Heisman voting. The Sooners' next starting quarterback is Spencer Rattler, who had the fourth best odds to win the Heisman this season before the odds were polled. So when you look at the quarterback expectations at Oklahoma, it's particularly high for Spencer Rattler. Tom Luganville, what do you think is realistic for him when he comes in and tries to contribute to this offense?
I think it's very important that Oklahoma fans take on the same approach that Lincoln Riley's going to have. Have great expectations, but also be reasonable. The one notable difference between Spencer Rattler and these other quarterbacks is Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield and Jalen Hurts had all been productive, proven players before they arrived at Oklahoma. This guy's just scratching the surface. So my advice to Spencer Rattler, be Spencer Rattler. Don't feel any pressure to have to be who the previous three were.
We wouldn't be having this conversation about any other school besides Oklahoma. Lincoln Riley has proven that his offense has been able to plug in a new quarterback every single season. And even though those guys had played some football, it's still, you know, Luke's, because you played quarterback, you know you still have to go learn a system, able to operate the current offense that you're in. And Lincoln Riley has proven that he can take a guy, put him in his system for the first time, and that guy go out and have tremendous success. And because we're talking about Lincoln Riley and because we're talking about Oklahoma, Spencer Rattler is going to be extremely successful, and they're in the right conference to do it. They're going to throw the ball around. He's an athletic guy, so he's going to be pretty good.
Look, I love watching Spencer Rattler on QB1. I'm catching up on it. It's great. But let's also acknowledge the fact that he is much younger than the quarterbacks they've seen come in and have tremendous success out of the gate. So it just feels like that there's going to be some learning curve for him, and everybody should be prepared for that. In the meantime, weekend of games means we've got a game of the week, and let's get to that from Dr. Pepper as we take a look at the game of the week, and that is Louisiana at Iowa State. It's going to be our game of the week. Based on last season's stats, Louisiana had a better record, tallied more points per game, and averaged almost 500 yards per game more, or 500 yards per game than Iowa State. So we'll see what that means moving forward for them, obviously, but that is our game of the week. As you see it there on the screen, the Raging Cajuns 11-3, Iowa State 7-6 last year. We'll see how that plays out and what we think is the Dr. Pepper Championship Drive game of the week. All right, so it's a weekend of football action means we're going to get some upsets. The question is, who do the guys think is out there that could pull one off? We'll tell you next on College Football Live.
This Heisman Preview is brought to you by Nissan. premier partner of the Heisman Trophy. College Football Live is presented by Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville, and in part by Wingstop. Order delivery now at wingstop.com, where flavor gets its wings.
I don't know what else to say except thanks. We're going to football. What a day.
Saturday, Trevor Lawrence leads number one Clemson against Wake Forest, 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific on ABC and the ESPN app. Saturday Night Football is presented by Capital One. Going to be a heck of a matchup to see the number one team and all the way get right out there. So we've also got some big point spreads. Some might say it looks like a weekend of blowouts. Look at the weekend. According to Caesars Sportsbook, the Texas-UTEP matchup takes the cake. Largest spread at 43 points. And of the top five largest spread, four of those are ranked teams against unranked opponents. It could be a weekend of blowouts, but that raises an interesting question. Gentlemen, I want to know, Tom, we'll start with you. Do you have an upset on the radar that you think could actually happen this weekend?
Yeah, I would go with Georgia Tech and Florida State. I just think that that game is going to be much closer than people give it credit for. You've got the new coach, Mike Norvell. He's had a tumultuous offseason, to say the least, not to mention the COVID and all the things you're trying to do as a new staff and a new coach. And then Georgia Tech in year two, I think they're going to be greatly improved. I would not be surprised, Joey, if this thing is an upset in Tallahassee.
Yeah, that's an interesting game. And Florida State hadn't been able to find that Florida State spirit that they used to have. They just look completely different now. And yeah. So you talk about the things that have happened in their offseason, and then Jeff Collins in his second year at Georgia Tech trying to build a different offense than what they had in the past with the option. He's got a recruiting cycle in there. So we're not sure what Georgia Tech is going to look like, but we know that Florida State has had some issues. So that's a game to keep your eye on.
Luz, let me follow up on those issues. If you're Mike Norvell and you've already had all these issues and then you go out and you lose week one in a big upset, how long do you keep that locker room?
I think it's way too premature to start worrying about that. It's an odd year. It's an unprecedented year. There's a lot of football to be played. When you're a first-year head coach, you're trying to figure out who your football team is. If you lose one game, the whole thing can't go in the tank on you.
Well, what I know is I'll never go in the tank as long as I got you two with me, Tom Luganville, Joey Galloway. I'm Jason Fitz. Thanks so much for hanging out with us on College Football Live. We appreciate it. Enjoy a weekend of games. Woohoo!